notes, but when in the midst of a lot of adversity, in the midst of all the stuff coming at us, the church can either go back down or we can go harder. And I'm not talking about breaking rules and being rebellious. I'm talking about the kingdom of God is now able to be advanced now because there's fear, there's pandemonium, there's a pandemic, there's things going on around us. We can actually make a greater impact if we choose to take a stance of doing stuff like this. Let's go out and win people for Jesus. And so when Kenny came to me, he goes, let's throw his names around, and a lot of people aren't traveling right now. And he goes, what about Robbie Dawkins? I go, I know that's kind of your favorite guy. He's kind of a big name. I haven't really heard of him much, so if you haven't heard him, don't feel bad. Until, of course, Kenny comes around, I hear about him a lot. But all of a sudden, I started looking into him. It's like, this guy travels the world. And so I just want you to know, then he calls me up and goes, oh, man, the ministry got back to me, and they told me how much it cost to bring him. I said, okay. Well, he gives me the number. I said, okay. It's a lot of money. Okay. You know, we're like, let's just, you feel, because I'm leaning on him heavily here, you feel, let's bring him. Okay, let's do it. And so we made a decision right there on the spot. Amy was involved in the process too, by the way. And we're like, you know, let's just do this. Let's sow into our body and into this community, because we hope people come from all over. And I guarantee you, we'll have an overflow space probably outside, because we'll have to get a tent. I don't know what we're going to do, but we will have an overflow area. This will be a really big deal, because we believe that God is going to impart something to this church and this community and this area to start seeing people like Jesus did, and to start seeing them realizing they need Jesus now more than ever. And I hope that this weekend, as we invest the church into this, then we find out later, which was so cool, the number that we thought was pretty large, which is, and we've promoted different events. We've done concerts before. We've done other things. And the base you give them, above and beyond, they keep all the money. Not here. He comes back to me and goes, you're never going to believe this, but the money they ask for is, all the offerings go to replenish the money that we already gave out. So we're going to give a chance to sow into his ministry, but then ultimately, all the offerings that come could cover the cost. But I also know that Kenny and I talked, when we leave, we want to make sure we leave him, make sure he's even blessed beyond what he started with. So please mark that weekend down. It's not just a promotion. It is a time where I can't wait to have a guy standing right up here sharing with us from stories around the world how he has seen signs, wonders, and miracles follow his team, his family, his kids. His kids, his youngest kid, how old is his youngest? I don't know. Young. They probably saw more miracles than any of us have seen in this room, because they travel with Dad and go around. I want to see a church get excited to see God show up mightily in this city. So you guys ready for that week? It's a month and a half away. Starting with that weekend, this was totally kind of separate, but not really. And this is just really odd. And I'm just going to give you this is the way that today started. And today's really started because I thought Kenny was going to do a week before of a message, and he told me this morning he wasn't. He goes, no, remember you were going to talk about that? I go, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I can do it. I got my notes. So we put all together. But Diane came up to send me an email about 3-4 weeks ago and saying, I really feel like with the things going on in the church, and this was before she knew about Robbie Dawkins, before we knew anything, I just really feel like we want to encourage people who want to join in another fast to do that. Well, that email I got, I read it. That's interesting. The first fast was pretty cool. We saw a lot of breakthrough. Last week, 2 weeks ago, you got a great testimony from Chris September about when they went on their fast, how it was during that period they were able to pay off all their debt. There's a baby being, happening here soon. But all that was, and then she shared her testimony, and those that don't know, that, you know, they went through a great trial because they thought they were going to have a baby a year before. But it didn't work out, and you know what? It took them to a place to go deeper in the Lord. And through that, they're in a great place, pregnant, and a new home on the way. I mean, but this was all they believed, is because they chose to put their face before the Lord and fast and pray for their own lives to be transformed, and it's awesome. And the testimony is from Mrs. Gray, and I'll get to that in just a second. But then we're in a meeting the next Monday morning, and Kenny walks up to me in the office with Amy and goes, I really feel like we should do a fast. I go, really, hold on, let me get my phone. Let me read you an email I just got from Diane yesterday. And so they didn't talk, and so I said, well, okay, if two or three here are agreeing, let's go for it. So I want to share a few things before we get into the other message about fasting. And I think it's really powerful. Kenneth Hagin makes a statement that I love. It says this: fasting does not change God. God doesn't change. He is the same before, during, and after your fast. So just on a side note, we're not going to start a fast so God can change something in our city. Does that make sense? A lot of times we think we fast, you know, one of the things that he says in his book that Kenneth Hagin wrote is we don't fast for revival. Revival is what D.L. Moody said way back in the day. He said, you want to pray for revival? Draw a circle around you. I've shared this for years, I know. Draw a circle around yourself and pray for everything inside that circle till revival happens. Revival is a move of God in us. It's a stirring in us. It's a transformation in us. It's a conference like this that will be imparted in us that will change a city and a county and hopefully our state, and if not more. Revival is something that we got to stop looking at as a meeting or an event or something that takes place. Instead, it's a move of God in us that transfers out of us to people around us. Revival ought to be an atmosphere. It ought to be something that we create by getting in front of God through fasting and prayer and worship and getting in his presence. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to see here. And we talked about hunger, and I'm gonna quote Kenny here in just a second also about the new normal. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But fasting ought to produce the new normal that he just preached about. And that's what we ought to be doing. Fasting does not change God. He is the same before, during, and after your fast. But fasting, this is Kenneth Hagin still, will change you. It will help you keep your flesh under. It will help you become more sensitive to the Spirit of God. We are tomorrow morning, or at midnight tonight, however you want to look at it, we are starting, we did a 21-day fast in January. Yeah. We decided to go big time and go, we're going to start a 40-day fast tomorrow. Now, we did a very poor job promoting this. I just want you to know. Some of you are like, wait a minute, I got dinner plans this week. Good. I'll get to that in just a second. I mean, I had dinner last night, but I just want you to know that my wife and I celebrated yesterday 22 years of her putting up with me. That's cool. But, oh, no. Trust me. We went to Bynum's because that's like our favorite place to go. And we walk in and they say hi. And then September gets to be our server on that day. So even a special day. And then Chris gives me a steak that I don't know if I've ever eaten a ribeye that big. But trust me, I did. And I should have got a prize afterwards. It was so good. But anyways, I have no. Why did I share that? Because of the dinner. Yeah, I was like, wow, this would be a great. I should have done this Sunday night before the fast. But here's what I want to encourage you on. Fasting isn't just about what you eat or not eat. We're going to get to some things in a second. It's about disciplining your life. This morning, I hope to share with you that tomorrow morning starts a new lifestyle for us. Kenneth Hagin also writes in that same book that he used to fast 2 days a week all the way through ministry for years and years and years. And finally, the Lord said, okay, I've got you to a place where you're disciplined here. Now I want you to fast as a lifestyle. And he says to the Lord, how am I going to do that? I got to eat. He goes, no, I want you to now learn to put your flesh under subjection every day. When you're done eating, because that's the right amount of food, not because you're still hungry. Or when you are not to go here and not to do this. The way that you act on a fast, act that way every day with moderation and disciplining your flesh daily. So I'd like to just start this 40 days out as saying I don't want to just have, and it is odd that it's going to end, by the way, on September 11th. So we start tomorrow and then the 11th of September. We believe that God is wanting to do some great things in our lives. And I think this shift that took place in March is real. Our nation is reeling from it financially. What, $2.2 trillion was lost in our economy? I mean, we are seeing things happening around us that I never would have thought of. And it's funny because 6 months ago, people were talking about it. There's no way our president can get elected. They could try to impeach him. But look, the economy. And now, look at this. It takes one thing and it disrupts. And I'm not here to get political. That's next week, just so you know. Oh, I am. I'm going to do something I've never done. Next week, I'm going to promote it in a second. But next week, I want to talk about Christians taking a stand, not against masks, not against the virus. When are we going to be the light in the midst of darkness? I mean, I'm mad. I'm mad because I think the church has to be brighter than what we are. I'm mad because our freedoms I see eroding from us in different areas. It's time for us to be the light. Jesus drew a sword because he knew that what he had was truth. And we have truth. We have the truth in us. And I believe it's time for the church to look at this and go, hey, maybe this is not an outright attack on just the church. But when are we, at what point, I'm jumping in next week's note. So when are we going to be like, you know that you've all heard the analogy about the frog in the frying pan or the boiling water. We're all in a bunch of water right now. And when the heat gets turned up, are we going to be ready to jump out? Or are we going to be so used to the gradual warming that we fall prey to losing our freedoms and our religious opportunities in this great free nation? I just want to make sure that we are awake. The scripture I'll be using next week will be alert. Be alert. Know, Paul says, know the seasons. Know the times. We're to know what's going on around us. And I'm not here to cause revolt. I'm not here to ask you to go and rebel and go stand up and protest. I'm saying, as a church, are we ready for this next season? And I believe, now going back to this week's notes, nice transition, you like that? Fasting will prepare us to make those choices. It's preparing us to be a disciplined, alert body of believers, ready to see Jesus come back when he does, but ready to see us take a stand and let Jesus' light shine brighter. I'm not here to divide. I'm not here to hate. I'm here to let Jesus' light shine so bright that when it does offend darkness, I don't care. Why? Because Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to bring peace today. I came to bring a sword. Those are his words, not mine. There's a time where, yes, he's a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. We're not here to not cause peace to happen in our nation. But there's times where we have to raise up a righteous sword of truth and justice from the word of God point of view. Next week. All right, so next week, you're like, oh boy, I can't wait for that next week. I promise you it won't be political. I don't like politics. I do believe there's a lot of things being warred against our president that as a American, not as even a Christian, concerns me greatly that we have a lot of things being done to our nation that is so deceptive, and it's heartbreaking to watch. But we're going to avoid some of that stuff next week because I'm not here to promote a candidate. I'm here to have the church look around and see the writing and go, we need to stand up. Righteousness needs to rise up now. The light needs to shine brighter. So when we fast, Jesus started out his earthly ministry. So when someone said to me years ago, I don't know why you talk about fasting. They didn't fast the New Testament. So today, I just want you to know that every scripture I have on my sheet is New Testament. So just so you know that fasting is New Testament. Now, they called different types of fast in the Old Testament, a psalm assembly fast. They have different reasons to fast. But here's the thing about the New and the Old Testament. If the Old Testament shows us how to do it, and the New Testament continues it, it means it went through the cross for us to continue today. And why would Jesus go in the desert for 40 days and fast to prepare his ministry to be birthed out of that if it was not for today? Just a thought. So fasting is applicable to our lives if it was applicable to Jesus. Daniel, Old Testament, did a 21-day fast. So there's 40 days, there's 21 days. And then in Matthew 6, let's start with scripture here. Let's start with Matthew 6. And I think I have all of them back there for Matthew 6:16. By the way, I don't like to talk always about my parents, but last weekend we made a decision as a family to go down to Florida. Flights are so cheap, it was nice. My mom and dad have been down there and we really felt it's been almost 10 months since we saw them. And we went down there and had an amazing trip. But I just give you a testimony. Those that don't know the whole story, but those that knew, my mom was diagnosed with very terminal cancer 3 years ago, something like that. And the doctors told her that we were not going to worry about the quantity of life, but just your quality of life till you do die. Basically, they told her before her surgery. And so they put the new hip in, everything else, and they couldn't connect to nothing because the cancer really ate the entire bone away. And my mom is walking. My mom is joyful. My mom is fighting. My mom is still doing amazing. She's still the most amazing woman, besides my wife, 22 years. But she's the most amazing mother you could ever imagine. She says the same. To be around them is a blessing, and my dad standing in faith and believing. And those that don't know some of the battles he went through, he had a detached retina, had surgery. They said he wouldn't see after 16 or 17 surgeries of just getting it. They said, well, in the next 1 to 3 years, you'll be blind. That's 8 years ago now. He was miraculously healed of COPD. Doctors have given him 100% proof that he's healed. My mom and dad are walking around as a testimony, but every once in a while I need to go down there and while they're doing amazing to see them. And I left there so encouraged to know that during this whole idea, there's no fear, they're doing well, and just as nice. So last weekend I did take the weekend to go down there, and it was awesome. But what a testimony to be reminded of when you're just sitting there talking to them about all the miracles that God has done in those two people's lives. And that's why I believe as a church, we got to get ready to see more of that. He didn't do it because that's a special family. No, God's a special God, and he wants to do this for all of us. So Matthew 6 says this, moreover, when you fast, it didn't say if you fast. Did you see that? So if Jesus is trying to teach us something, he didn't say, well, if you ever decide to fast, it's when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. And then here's what he says. Don't go do it outward. Don't make a show of it. Don't walk up to them and go, hey, oh, sir, I can't eat today. I'm fasting because I'm spiritual. That's, man, the next three verses basically define for you. When you fast, it's between you and the Lord. It's disciplining your life before God, not to make a public display. Don't anoint your head. Put stuff on you. Yes, I am the fasting king. I am so spiritual. No, this is between you and God to get your time with the Lord. But the key word there was, it didn't say if you fast. It says when you fast. So starting out this morning, it's not if you decide to fast with us. It's when you fast. So let's jump into our main text, Mark chapter 9, and let's read here. And believe it or not, Kenny, I'm going to say this is, I should not say this out loud, but that light was horrible. That light actually neutralized it. So now, isn't that weird when two bads make a good? Because now I'm blinded in both eyes, so I can't see anything. It's actually great. So now it's like, ooh, doesn't matter where. Before you look this way and your eyes lose sight, you go over here, you're all dark. Now you're all dark, so this is great. So love it. Thank you. Verse 14 of chapter 9 of Mark. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and scribes questioned with them. And straightway all the people beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running him, slew to him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with him? And one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, hath the dumb spirit. And whoever he talks, he tears him up, and he foams and gnashes his teeth and pines away. And I spoke to disciples, and they should cast him out, but they could not. Now, let me stop. I believe this is a mark that we need to go ahead and put out there. I spoke to the people that you have sent out, your disciples, and they couldn't take care of the problem. Now, we say that I'm going to draw. We'll keep going. But this is, I think, where we're at today. If somebody was manifesting a demon, someone was in need of a miracle right in front of you, today I'm hoping and praying that they would not have to have someone come to me because one of us couldn't do the job. We are all been given authority to do these things in the kingdom, all of us. Not just one preacher and not just Jesus. And he's going to teach them something that is about, and fasting obviously is going to be included if you can't tell, since that's the that's the part of the message. Verse 19, he answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long should I suffer you? Bring him unto me." Was he talking about his disciples? Yes, he was. So the unbelief in his disciples was a problem here, but we'll see in just a second how that changed. It's also another one. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, fell to the ground, wallowed foam, and he asked the father, "How long is this since came on him?" "Oh," he said, "as a child." And oftentimes, he throws himself on the fire and the water, destroys him, but thou canst do anything. Have compassion on us. Help us. I don't know about you, but, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have problems with their kids. This one seems to take the cake. I'll just let you know. You know, how many of you could say that? I've had some kids, problem raising my kids. This one seems a little bit intense for me. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." And straightway the father of the child cried out with tears and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit," you guys want, I'm going to teach you right now how to cast out a demon. Ready? "Thou deaf and dumb spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him." That's how you cast out a demon. You don't talk to the demon. Remember those TV shows back in the 80s and 90s where they were going, "Okay, come here. What's your name?" And they did it, and they interviewed the demon for 5 minutes. And the demon starts spitting up everywhere and puking everywhere. Oh, yeah, these are great. You can go back and Google it. I'm sure it's on YouTube now. But I'm like, why would you waste 5 minutes of your life? We did this one time. Was it 4 hours? We had a lady that brought to the church, and I didn't know much better. We brought a guy training us to do deliverance. And I think it was 4 hours this lady ended up laying on the floor. And after, I think we counted 60-something demons, because we kept, every time they told us their name, we'd cast it out. Another name, we'd cast it out. I'm getting tired of casting out demons. And we realized years later, we went through actual a teaching on it. We're like, no wonder why. You know what we did 67 times? Cast out a lying spirit, because that demon was never going to tell us their name anyways. We spent 4 hours basically having this person in turmoil, and I look back that day and go, wow, what a dumb thing that was. Nice learning experience. If you let the demons talk long enough, are they ever going to tell the truth? "Yeah, that's my name, cast me out." No, they're going to try to run and hide. And so, anyways, you learn things. We need to stop giving them authority and take the authority we've been given and telling them to go and not entertain it anymore. So Jesus just taught us right there how to do deliverance. So ever have a chance, there you go. Just speak it, get him out. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was one as one dead, in so much that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, the disciples asked privately, because they've just been rebuked openly, "Why could we not cast him out?" And he said to him, "This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." Back with me in Matthew 17. Let's read just the two verses on the end in Matthew's account, because it's a little bit more descriptive, which I like. Again, one thing I love about the Gospels, they don't contradict, but they do. Different authors heard and wrote down different things, and so it gives you more information so we can get it. So in verse 20 of Matthew 17, Jesus said to him, this is what they, now his disciples, this is what he said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall unto this mountain remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, but this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting." So here's what Jesus just did. I want to encourage you. This is what I believe this teaching should do to us. Jesus was brought a situation. His disciples couldn't take care of it. He rebuked them for their unbelief. He said, if you just had a grain of faith this big, You could say that mountain and you could do this. You could speak to the mountains and say that'll be removed. I mean, this is the faith that we have. But he said, but this kind only came out by prayer and fasting. And I think it's interesting that Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief because that still was in operation there. And then he says, but not only was it your unbelief, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. What this shows me is that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples a disciplined lifestyle of what it meant to live a lifestyle of fasting. 40 days is going to be awesome. We're doing this as a church. But I hope this is a training ground for us to take this as a lifestyle. Jesus didn't say, hurry up and go fast, you can cast a demon out. He was already fasted up. He was already living a lifestyle of disciplining his body, disciplining his flesh. So what I take away from that story is two things. Number one is he disciplined his flesh consistently. It wasn't like gorge and then fast. It wasn't eat Bynum's and have a really big, great steak and then eat a salad the next. I had salad too, though. I mean, I had both. But then eat nothing like a rabbit for a week. It's living a lifestyle of discipline. And the second part of that is living a lifestyle of self-control. And I'm going to share this. I know there's some unmarried people in here, so you'll have to just listen. This is 1 Corinthians 7, verses 4 and 5 says this. And I think they have that up there. If not, I can quickly turn there. The wife does not have power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, the husband does not have power of his own body, but the wife. Verse 5 says these things again. Defraud not one another, except it be of consent for what? A time, that you may give yourselves to prayer and fasting and come together again, that Satan tempt you not in your intimacy, or inconsistency, which is your intimacy, basically. So in marriage relationships, we're not going to talk about what he's talking about. If you can't fill in the blanks, then go do some research on it. But if a husband and wife want to stay apart intimately, it must be by consent. It must be by agreement. And it must be that you both are seeking the Lord in prayer and fasting, but don't do it too long and too freely where you don't come back together to allow yourselves to be tempted. So this is a very, this is not marriage counseling, but it's actually pretty good counsel. If you stay consistent with your intimacy, you'll stay consistent and not let the enemy tempt you in those areas. But there are times where he actually does tell you, hey, I don't want you to even be intimate right now. I want you to spend all your time as a marriage to focus on what fasting and praying for something in your own lives. If you're going through a trial in your marriage, maybe the best thing to do, even though it's, oh, we need to be together more. We need this. That's not a bad thing. I agree. Connecting's good. But you know what? There's a deeper connection. I'd say maybe we should put a fast on intimacy that way, but be intimate this way with the Lord together. Getting before God's throne and disciplining our flesh so our spirit as a marriage can be restored. You ever think of it that way? Anybody? Like, I don't want to hear about this one. Some of you are like, right now, you need to shut up about 5 minutes ago. I didn't want to hear this. I'm not saying you take long. Read the text. It didn't say for long periods. This is talking about whatever. Agreement. Let's get together. If we're struggling with something, let's go deeper. Let's get spiritually in tune with God by fasting and praying and believing that it will cause more intimacy later. And this is the one. It's disciplining our lives in such a way that fasting and prayer disciplines us and it allows us to a place of self-control that's powerful. Acts chapter 13. Turn there real quick, please. This is another aspect of fat. I told you, I'm doing all New Testament today just because it's real. And it's something that as Christians, we need to be a part of. Verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now, when there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that were called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Menean, which had been brought up with Herod, and the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Another part of fasting is a time of preparation of wisdom. And I love this. They were ministering to the Lord and fasting. So the next 40 days and more, I'm doing 40 days, but it's going to be a lifestyle when you're done. The next 40 days, I want us to focus on this one thing. Well, a few things, as you can tell. How are we going to minister the Lord better? As we're fasting, let's take the time to minister the Lord. Another thing that Kenneth Hagin put in his book on fasting was that he learned the secret of this by later it says in both in Galatians, Ephesians, and maybe that we minister to the Lord in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melodies unto the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? We always think that we're singing as a worship around us. It says that we sing to the Lord, making this, because our spirit is in communion with God and we're ministering to him. So I believe as we take some time these next few weeks and we focus on fasting, as we fast here, number one is we're disciplining ourselves. We are putting ourselves under subjection, our flesh out of its way. And number two is we then take the time to minister to the Lord more. Let's take time to pray in the Spirit. We're a charismatic, we believe in this, right? So have you ever thought that maybe I'm gonna fast breakfast and I'm gonna go, how long does it take me to eat breakfast? Well, if you're me, I eat in the car, so if I eat it at all. It might take me 10 minutes. Then would you do me a favor? Start your day out rather than going to eat McDonald's biscuit and sausage and whatever else you eat. And instead, go over to the Lord and say, hey, I want to spend the next 10 minutes ministering to you. I worship you. And get that spirit inside. Get your spirit alive and speaking songs and melodies and hymns in the Lord. And you minister to the Lord in your day rather than just eating breakfast. This is we fast so we can minister to God. Isn't that good? So the next focus, you can see how this could be a lifestyle. You see, it's pretty easy. But this is what they did. They ministered to the Lord as they fasted. And the third thing that came from the fast is they walked in great wisdom and direction. Turn with me also just a chapter later, Acts 14, verse 23. This same thing almost happens again. It says this, and when they had ordained them as elders in every church, they had prayed and fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. As they prayed and fasted, they heard the Lord clearly on what they were to do. So this is my last point of the day, by the way. You're like, oh boy, we're going to end this soon. Number one point is we discipline ourselves with fasting. Number two is we minister to the Lord in our fast. We take the extra time needed to spend time with the Lord, ministering our heart to his heart, our spirit to the Holy Spirit, just ministers to us, and the Father is receiving ministry because his children are worshiping and loving on him. The number three thing you did in both these passages say, as they sought the Lord, they fasted and they ordained and they released people in ministry. They heard the Lord speak to them. I believe fasting, as we started out there, fasting doesn't change God, it changes us. I want to go into tomorrow, or whenever you choose, we'll get to that in a second, with a focus in mind. I want to have a focus, and this is where I'm going to quote the last 3 weeks that Kenny's done. Fasting takes our focus off of the normal Christian life that we've been living, and now I'm asking God to create in us the new normal life that we've been preaching about. Fasting takes us off the focus of the normal life that we're living, and it creates in us a desire to live what we've been preached to the last 3 weeks. The new normal. What's the new normal? Hungry after God, seeking after him, ministering to the Lord, and ministering to others, loving on people. We are God. I want to see this in us do a kingdom manifestation in us to change our relationship with God and others in a mighty way. And so this fast isn't just to go and say, we want revival. No, this is a fast that would continue to ask the Lord to minister to us as we minister to him. as we worship and ask him to speak to us like we've never been heard. There's another scripture I left out in Psalms because it was Old Testament. But it says there was, I think it was Psalms 30s. Oh, I don't remember where it was. But this was a great thing. I never saw this until I was looking at it this week. It said that as they were talking against me and as people were attacking me and accusing me, it says, then I went before the Lord and I prayed and I fasted and there I found my refuge. You know, if you're even under that right now, get before God, fast, separate yourself and minister to the Lord and let him. And the next, right after those two verses in the middle of that chapter, I wish I were, I don't remember what it was. He then described how God intervened and changed his circumstance. Why? Because God changed him to create a new circumstance out there. I believe that God will change Martinsville. God will change Indiana. He will change our region by fasting, but it'll be because he changed us first. He changed us, the church, first. He got us to a place where our hunger was being met with hunger. Our passion was being met with passion. And our life was being created with a place of such discipline and self-control that we learned to live the things of God like never before. So we're believing for breakthrough. We're believing for a breakthrough that starts in our homes, your marriages, your children. I'm believing that. Let's pray that God would manifest his presence and his power in your homes in a way that's never been seen before. Let's pray for a breakthrough in our church. Souls being saved, healed, delivered, set free. Let's pray that God will use us, transform us to see the needs of people, that they would be set free, saved. I think there's souls out there that need Jesus today. You know, I went to my sister gives us the free tickets every year to the concert. So I was at the Trace Adkins concert in the rain on Friday night, which, I know, I'm sorry, those Kenny, I know you. The first thing I thought was when he came up and he played his low register and his country music, I thought, Kenny would love this. Look, this interference now. Did you call? Kenny would love this country music. I know he would. But he hates country, but I love country music. I like the style. But as I was sitting there, I looked out there at one point when it was all raining, and they let the Cedar Creek place come in this year. And as I saw, because that's the first time I think fairs were allowed to serve alcohol. But as I saw the more and more inebriated people walk by me and more, I'm thinking, at one point, that's all I could think of is, you know how many people in this concert right here in Morgan County, right here, where I'm not driving to Indy to a concert now, that's right here in Martinsville, how many of these people, A, that I don't know, and how many of them don't know Jesus? I don't know how many people show up at the concert, thousands I know. But it's like, what a market, what an opportunity we have right here in Martinsville that I can't even see until I went there Friday night. Folks, there's people right here in Martinsville that need Jesus. And I hope that this fast will open up our hearts, our minds, our eyes to see what God wants to do in and through us in this community. And yes, I do believe next week I'm going to continue. This is where I was going to insert my notes from next week, but I already did it with you, so don't worry. Is I do believe that God wants to do something awesome in our nation. And I'm going to share a story with you next week about me, about how angry I got over some things, and it had to change me so I have a better attitude and a better outlook. Because if we're going to change the things around us, we got to do it the right way. There's a right way to do things. Do it with integrity. Do it with truth. And don't let, there's a lot of times, I'm not on social media, but I'm going to throw this out there next week. I'll tell you, I'm going to start straight up. Don't you promote lies because it fits our agenda. There's a lot of things out there that I read and then I fact check and go, that was all wrong. But when we promote that, then it becomes a hoax. And the point that you were making, which was probably accurate, gets thrown away because the source was inaccurate. There's a lot of things happening in America right now that ought to concern you. The comments that are being made by a former owner of a large computer company, which somehow makes him a professional on vaccines, I guess, too, by the way. I'm saying this out loud, aren't I? Yeah, I am. I don't know. I just don't want to mention names. It might be offensive. But now all of a sudden they're saying that we would like to have a mark tracing in you that, and this is now said on public TV. This is no longer a hoax. I know we've been talking about it for a couple years. We've heard rumors about it, but now it was on a national television station produced for everyone to see that you can't travel or go to church without it. That's next week. I concern you now that churches are being thrown into everything you can. The NFL, was it the NFL, I think, has said that you are not allowed, if you're a player on the NFL, you cannot go to church if they're not honoring the 25% rule. Right? Let me make sure my facts are accurate. Thank you. Thank you. Concerned yet? That's next week. I am concerned. I'm concerned that we need to get our heads out of the sand and believe that God wants an awakening. And we could go ahead and focus on all the anger. And I was, last week, I was angry at some of the things that are being done. And I'm not mad at masks. I'm not mad at a virus. I'm not mad at the social distancing. I am angry because we as a church need to make sure that we're creating the best opportunity to see souls get saved and loved on through this time, but also stand up for our freedoms in Christ. It's not going to be a rip on the government. I promise you, I don't believe in that. We got to pray for them, but we have some stuff going on in different states, especially, and even our own recently, that they're overreaching some things as personal freedoms. And we believe, as a church, how do we respond? We have to have a good attitude. We got to be, jumping to next week. All right, that was the, I inserted more anyways. I can't help myself. But as we go into this fast, I would like to just encourage every one of you to get ourselves in a place of discipline, a place of ministering more to the Lord than we ever have. And if you guys are the communion, if you're ready for communion, we're ready to, oh, we already have this stuff. That's right. Okay. I forgot. You don't have to pass it out anymore. I told Luke earlier, hey, we're going to communion at the end. He looked at me like, well, are you still going to do an offering? Because we don't pass this out anymore. I forgot about that. No wonder why he looked at me strange. Anyways, but fasting is going to do these three things in our life. Discipline, minister to the Lord, and then give us wisdom and direction for the things in our life we need. Fasting will change us. So I'd like to invite you officially tomorrow, whether you want to do it fasting a TV show. Fasting is a place of disciplining your life. Whether it's certain foods you want to fast, there's different vegetable fasts, I mean, I don't suggest it, but I mean, I know the Bible, they had a food and water fast for 40 days. That'd take a miracle to get through for me. But I don't care how you do it, but I want to encourage you to be a part of something. Whether it's saying, listen, every day we're going to turn off this and spend this much time focusing on the presence of God. And that's what our heart is for the next 40 days, is to get our focus back to the Lord. As you have your community this morning, staying in theme with being a church and a family, if you turn your Bibles back about 10 chapters, Acts chapter 2 says this, and they continued, this is the church, a united church, after all these souls got saved right after Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Something the church never forgot is the origin of what we're here for. Fasting and praying for miracles and praying for what God is going to do in this community and hopefully in our nation, starting with us. But let's not forget the covenant maker himself. Jump with me now. My last scripture, I promise you, this is where I'm ending today, I promise. A lot of scripture today. But you're all right with that. You can't make it up if it's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, says this, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is that not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, as a church, being many, are one bread, one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread. Today, I really want to believe. There's a lot of, Kenny shared it earlier when he was praying. There's a lot of division over a lot of things. And I believe this with everything in me when I wrote the statement last week that Kenny read about the masks. I am not here to rebel, and I'm not here to say, and I want you to love and respect your neighbors. And I will tell you that in airports, airplanes, every store I went to last weekend in Florida, when they told me to wear a mask, I wore a mask. okay? You honor the rules that are given. Let me hear rebel against, just to create a scene where they had a plane had to turn around because someone went, where? I mean, come on. You knew before you got on the plane that you had to wear one. If you don't want to go to certain stores because they're doing it, then that's your choice. But we as a church are going to let you have that freedom to choose because we believe before God we choose what we can do. But keep yourself with integrity. Make decisions before the Lord. If some of you right now, I tell you, I believe there's everything in me. Just because I don't want to wear a mask right now doesn't mean that we should judge anyone who does. Do you believe this? We're like, oh, bro, we have freedom. Well, oh, only free freedom if we agree with you. Just gonna throw it out there. Yes, I have some strong opinions, but my opinion's for me. You got to be the one that walks out of this place. You got to be the one that walks around people. And if you have a peace that you think that mask will help other people around you because of what's going on in your body or what's going on in theirs, then you should have the freedom to do so before God. Now, I'm not your judge, and neither should anyone in this room ever be. And that's what I didn't leave. That's what I did leave out of last week's because Kenny didn't want to have to read that for me, that part of it. But I do believe that we got to love you enough that when we're different, we still love you more. Shouldn't that be the church? Shouldn't we love somebody whether they have a mask on or not? Oh, getting more faith. No, stop. It used to be that same argument. Oh, they went to the doctor. Get more. Stop. We're not here to argue about these. We're here to love people. Honor them and honor their convictions just as you have a conviction, so do they. And I believe that with everything in me. Now, if you are the person driving around alone in a car with a mask, I'm not sure who's infecting you, but hey, at least you're keeping your car clean, okay? I just let you know that. I don't know. That's a joke. Sorry, that's a bad one too. But you know, I do see that a lot but if that person, all joking aside, is convicted to wear the mask in their car all by themselves, then why are you criticizing them? Why is it hard? I mean, I can kind of chuckle a half a few times, by the way. Not saying I haven't made a comment to maybe myself driving, but why are we their judge? We're not. We're one body. One body. And we cannot be divisive. And we cannot have disunity allowed in the church because we have different convictions about what's going on in the culture around us. People are dying. There is disease out there. There's a lot of disease other than COVID-19, by the way. There's a lot of stuff out there. And we have to learn to walk with wisdom and walk with integrity and walk in honor and love one another. And let's choose to be one body. That's what this represents to me this morning. I want to be one body because Jesus came and broke his body, beaten and bruised, so we can be identified with that and be unified in the cross. And I want to see a church rise up together, not divisive, but one voice. Next week we're going to talk about one voice crying aloud the praises of our God. So Father, as we hold this bread in our hand, we are reminded what you did for us. It says that the church, the Hillary Church, they were all in one accord. They listened to the apostles. They got together and they broke the bread together, reminding them of the unity they have in Christ. And so today, I hold this bread in my hand as a symbol of your body, that as it was broken, divided itself, you brought us together through that very act of brokenness. Because of your brokenness, we are united. Because of your brokenness, we are healed. Because of your brokenness, we are saved. And so today we stand at the foot of the cross and we honor you today and the bread and this that we take now. So this is the bread right here that unites us as one body in Christ. Let's do this today. And as we peel open this lid, this is the blood. And the reason why I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 10:16 was this. This is the cup of blessing. And I want to mean, I mean, it's everything in me. I'm not doing it just to, I want to just today speak a blessing over this church. We are blessed because we have a covenant God. He's blessed us with all spirit. Ephesians chapter 1. bless us with all spiritual blessings. We are so blessed right now. And in Deuteronomy, let's go, we can use a little Old Testament here. It says this, you're blessed the city, blessed when you go, blessed when you come. The blessing of the Lord shall come upon me and overtake me because I'm walking in such a blessing. So today as we hold up this cup of the new covenant, as the old covenant was a blessing of God, so is this cup right here. It's the cup of blessing. And today I'm asking for the favor of God. So I'm going to pray this. Father, as we hold the cup of blessing up right now, I'm asking for favor to come upon everyone in this room. Healing to manifest in the name of Jesus right now. I believe, as that just as that father said, I believe, help my unbelief. You want to say, Lord, I believe that the blood of Jesus is my healing power. And I'm praying even right now, this very moment, the manifestation of healing would be my blessing today. Freedom from addiction, freedom from strife, freedom from bondage is mine because I'm blessed. I'm not cursed. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed everywhere I go because the blesser gave himself for me. His blood was shed for me so I can partake in the cup of blessing. So this is the cup of the new covenant, the cup of blessing. And I just proclaim over everyone in this room a shield of blessing that it covers and it protects us. The blood of Jesus covers you today. Would you receive that by faith? The blood works better than any other gift that's been given. I'll leave it at that. It is the blood that covers us, heals and forgives. And so today, I take the cup of blessing and I speak the blessing over everyone in this room in Jesus' name.